If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me.
Really? Come on. There could be 25 women, you could fall in love with one, and she might not feel the same.
I love you.
As far as being in love, I've certainly moved on.
I am in love with you, Jalen.
Well, there's no good way, but this is the best way. People have now meet this way, right?
Guys, welcome to the most boring episode of The Bachelor ever.
Almost.
Ever.
Almost the most boring.
Ever.
There were a couple of, well, I mean, there's two really good parts.
Were there? Were there even two good parts? Because
yeah,
I only know
people.
One part that was they're great.
Both, yeah, the beginning and the end. It's the same part, just split up across time.
I don't even know if the end was good.
Yeah, the end was good.
Was it?
I mean, don't make the show completely unlistenable.
It is.
I just want everyone to know.
The show is obviously not unlistenable. The content of the show.
Welcome to Paint Drying, episode 89.
Let's bring back Mom to do some sweaty balls. Hi, everybody. Did you miss me?
Taylor's back. Taylor, welcome back.
I'm back.
I'm glad to have you back for this episode.
I'm glad to be back for this episode, namely because of one thing and one thing only. And it's called Black Girl Magic. That's why I'm excited to be back.
The Rachel 101 day?
Oh, baby.
Yeah, that wasn't even the exciting part that I was talking about.
What? It wasn't?
No, I thought that was a pretty boring part.
Boo!
Anyway. Well,
you
no.
suck, Adam.
Yeah, so let's start.
Clearly, we are very confused about how this episode's going to go because it seemed like there was this like waterfall of all of this new information we were going to get this week, and nothing happened.
Yeah. So one big passive aggressive quiet fight happened,
which is the worst kind of fight to have.
Yeah. So anyway,
oh, God.
Let's
at least Donald Trump is divisive.
Let's start with who we're losing.
Okay.
So let's go down end of the road for somebody that I think we both liked.
Yeah,
Sarah!
Okay, so at the beginning of the episode, obviously, we start with the rose ceremony that we were supposed to have last week because we are continuing this long, arduous fight between Taylor and Corinne. I'm over it. I want to get to the rose ceremonies. The fact that we've already had, what, 5 episodes of the show, we've only had 3 rose ceremonies.
I don't know, they're way off.
Is some oboe friends, so I'm not happy about that. So we lose Sarah this week, who I adored.
She seemed totally harmless.
She seemed totally harmless. This beautiful, sweet, round, cherubby face, great
yeah,
boobs. Great boobs.
She did have some great boobs. She had a child's face on an adult's body.
And she was also a grade school teacher, so I feel like those two things go together.
It's like her face never grew out of itself. Very strange.
She just has a sweet face.
I was kind of into it. Like
I was here for it. I loved her.
It was kind of hot. And plus, like, she got along with people.
Yeah, and she said a couple, choice things to Corinne in terms of aggressiveness, which, you know, I'm also here for as well. And, I mean, she held her own among that group of people. Sarah was nice.
I feel like something that I appreciate among the group of women.
Yes.
It is very, very rare that somebody gets along with the whole house.
That is true.
This is just science.
Science.
You put a group of 30 women, or even anything more than about 5 women in one place, they will divide themselves into groups, and nobody will be a part of everything.
Yeah.
Sarah didn't do that. Sarah was a part of everything.
Sarah was a friend of the jungle, if you will.
Too much friends, I guess not enough with Nick.
And poor Sarah being left out in that Wisconsin air.
Oh my God.
Without a coat.
The most brutal thing.
I mean, my goodness.
The most brutal thing is that they have this rose ceremony and it's like negative 30 degrees in Wisconsin. Everyone is freezing cold. You can see everyone's breath.
Right.
They're like, everyone's out in their like nice fur coats, these big warm coats, still shaking.
Some of them are.
Still
Some
shaking.
Of them are.
Yeah, obviously. Sarah, bare arms, one dress.
See-through, and not, also a crop top.
Not giving up the look. She's going high fashion.
Very much so.
Low temperatures, high fashion.
High fashion.
Freezes herself to death, and then is eliminated from the show.
I also feel like, you know, if you're having this show, and, you know, through the magic of television, everyone, you know, you can, I guess on one level, if you're a producer, you can assume that the lights will warm people up a little bit.
You can't get some heat lamps? Magic of television heat
you.
Lamps?
Get some heat lamps in there. You know, like wrap them up with something. Make them look like they're, you know, bales of hay.
Yeah.
That works. Or put, like, heat lamps in the ceiling and then have them coming down.
She looked mostly dead.
That is awful.
She's like Kate Winslet in Titanic. Alive on top of that door, barely.
And very topical this week because, you know, James Cameron finally came out and said, hey, Jack was not meant to live, everybody. So leave Rose alone about not allowing him to get on that door.
They would have fit.
They would have fit.
Yeah. That's it. Sarah, you know what? I'm going to miss Sarah.
I know. She was a cutie.
She was one of those, like, under-the-radar flyers who you expect to kind of sneak up to, like, 6th, 7th, 8th place. She never had any chance of winning. She was not a threat to that. But, you know, I kind of hope she would go longer.
You know who she is?
Who is she?
She's a Leslie Murphy.
Oh, she should have been a Leslie Murphy.
I know. She didn't have the personality and the gumption, the mundo.
No.
That I would have preferred, but
the crop
Sarah
is
was
weak.
Gone places.
The crap is weak this year. Outside of the top three, the crap is weak.
But we'll get to that later. Who else do we lose?
We lost Astrid, who is surprisingly still around.
Well, the funny thing is that when the fact that we lost Astrid, but kept Whitney, and I was who?
Josephine is still here. Whitney is still here.
Josephine, who I was trying to describe.
And Sarah's out.
I was trying to describe Josephine to somebody this week, and I couldn't find. They were like, well, what celebrity does she look like? And I said, Sarah Jessica Parker.
The Wicked Witch of the East.
Ooh, she's dead. We never actually got to see her face.
Like I said.
Ooh, boy.
So, Astrid, defining moment of the season was Luz winning that race.
And also running with a bad bra.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you forgot that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The runner in me took over. I really
Did
was
it?
Like, I can't believe she won that race by getting last.
Is that what took over for you? Not the fact that she was running in a bad bra?
Nah, I'd already seen it.
It was more of a fashion bra than it was a supportive apparatus.
It was more of a piece of tape than necessarily a brassiere. Anyway, whatever. We lost Astrid. Like, she's out.
We got
she,
to continue
whatever.
To have this fight between Corinne and Taylor that still means absolutely nothing to me. Like, I think the most exciting part of that argument that they were having in Wisconsin was Corinne's big, giant glass of champagne.
Which was... Yeah,
it was distractingly large.
For a second,
I have never seen a glass that is that big.
For a second, I was like, "Is Corinne really small?"
No, that was a huge glass.
You gotta get him drunk. That would explain the conversation she was having with Taylor. We start the actual episode. We are still in Wisconsin.
Correct.
These two, Corinne and Taylor, on this bench by a bonfire.
By a fire. Very romantic.
And they're arguing, but it's like...
It's an incoherent argument that you usually have when the two of you are not blackout drunk.
Yeah, brown
but like
out.
Tipsy enough where you're kind of like, you know where you are. You could probably stumble your way to the bathroom, but you should probably go home.
It's like, it is very incoherent. They're both sort of just like throwing allegations together and like everyone is... changing the subject every time it's their turn to talk. On top of this, neither one of these women has any information about anything.
None.
It's like listening to two kindergartners argue about astrophysicists or something.
Oh.
They don't know anything.
I've seen that happen before.
How was it? Disappointing?
No, they came up with a few good points.
Yeah. It was very bad. It was so bad that Alexis from like the room over the interview room over back of the house
right.
is kind of the voice of reason. She's like, listen. Why are you so focused on each other? We're just here to have fun and, like, be in this thing with Nick.
And Adam, lest we forget, the first person that actually did the use your percent conversation in this episode was Rachel Friend.
Yeah.
She said, I don't give a about this. I mean, obviously, I'm saying this as her, but I am obviously her anger translator, a la...
Not even anger. She's just over it.
She's so over it.
Like, there are three women who are clearly winning right now. And Rachel is one of them.
Probably
the one of them. And they zoom in on Rachel, and they're like, how do you feel about this Corinne
and
Taylor thing?
She's like, I can't.
Who?
I'm done. She's like, I'm focused on my relationship with Bay. Like, this is dumb.
She's like, I'm sorry. The grown-ups are
right,
talking.
Right, I'm sorry. I'm 31 years old. I don't have time for this.
Really
I'm
is.
A lawyer.
We should have... Like, what's really happening is Corinne and Taylor are, like, thrown out of here over to the kids' table... where they start arguing about emotional intelligence, which is something that is, there's probably a real-life use of emotional intelligence. It probably is a real life thing. Taylor doesn't know anything about it. She's making it up.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Oh.
Oh, this is going to get confusing.
Well, I think you should...
TV Taylor.
Better.
TV Taylor.
Better.
Is drunk and ignorant and a child.
And cold.
And very self-centered.
When you're cold, that makes you say really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Like when I've had a drink with too much ice in it, I lose it.
Taylor, very thin skin for that.
I lose it.
So whatever, these two are arguing, they just sort of cut it out, and like that's when a TBD, right?
Drama.
And then we're whisked off by a homeless person to a second location.
To jazz and beignets and the Saints in New Orleans.
And the Pelicans,
yes.
Which, as you all know, the basketball team used to be the Jazz, the New Orleans Jazz, back in the 90s, the heyday of the NBA, when Michael Jordan was still gambling under the radar. And
no, the Jazz were still in Utah right now.
The Jazz were still in Utah. So.
And the Jazz, as basketball says, and the Jazz moved to Utah where music is illegal.
Where music is illegal.
So now they have another team.
So now we're in New Orleans, Jamie's hometown, which is, you know, really exciting for me, thinking about like, okay, this is Jamie's like hometown. She should be able to have a really cool, fun date because she's at home. And we get to the JW Marriott. And the girls are waiting for Chris Harrison to let them know what's going to happen this week. And of course, on the docket is a one-on-one date, a group date, and the dreaded two-on-one date. Now, honestly, I don't know how these women could not have pinpointed who would be on the two-on-one date.
I think they both kind of knew it, because...
I think you'd have to be blind, dumb, and deaf not to know who would be on the two-on-one date.
Yeah, speaking of blind, dumb, and deaf, so the date card comes... And who picks it up to read it
but Raven,
the illiterate one?
No, she's not illiterate. She just has the same accent that Britney Spears has, which also makes her sound illiterate.
She, I just think it's so funny that, like, words come on a card, and the person who picks it up to read is, like, the one person who is obviously going to struggle with this task.
I don't think she's struggling with it. She's using her own words. She might say Tom instead of time.
I'm sorry.
Tom?
Tom.
Tom?
Like a guy? Like Thomas?
Tom.
Like a male cat?
Like what Tom is it?
Oh. See, that's what I'm saying. What she's trying to say is one word. What she's actually saying is a different word that doesn't have any kind of relation to the first word.
So Rachel gets picked for the one-on-one date. For the one-on-one date.
Yes. And they have a wonderful, cute little date.
This date! Guys! I'm so happy. It was wonderful.
It's, so I wrote down.
You say something, because all I'm going to do is gush about it, and you're going to get annoyed with me.
Here's the thing that I'm going to say, and I pointed this out to Taylor when we were watching the show. It is the best possible thing for the show that Nick is actually attracted to all the oldest women in the cast.
Yes.
It is a problem that they are still 5 years younger than him.
However.
But it would be a huge problem if they were 13 or 14 or even 15 years younger than
excellent
him.
Excellent point.
It would be a gigantic issue for them.
Because the thing is that we all know that the reason that Nick is on this show is to rehab his image. And clearly, the fact that there is such a dichotomy between the women that are in his wheelhouse, that are older, that are mature, that are sane, over the Corinnes, the Taylors, the whatevers of the world. So, like you said, it is very good for the show that he is actually attracted to women that are in his age range. Because, I mean, talk about the worst thing for your image to have you fall in love with a 23-year-old after you've been screwing your way to the top on this franchise.
Yeah, the problem for the show is that they're still taking themselves seriously.
Yes.
And the viewers are sort of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
I mean, after you've been watching the show for 21 seasons, you can't mean to tell me that someone's actually watching the show and believing that true love exists.
Of
and that you're giving it to them. I mean, you've only had three couples that are actually together from this show.
Yeah, but nobody cares about that. If two people who could end up together and then fall apart, that's not a problem for them. If a 36-year-old, like, man and a 21-year-old child were to end up together as a result of this show, you got a problem on your hands.
It's pretty gross.
Like, and they don't work out, That's a weird PR problem.
That's putting together two people
who could have never otherwise been together.
Exactly.
So it's a good thing for them that he is so into Rachel and also Danielle M and also Vanessa. He's into three of the
oldest.
They might be the three oldest.
They are, for sure.
It's very lucky for them that he is into them, or at least that he is pretending to be. He has me convinced.
Yeah, because when we go back on the list, like, Jamie's 28. That's a really good wheelhouse for him to be in. Danielle L is 27. Danielle M is 31. Corinne is obviously 24, so we know how young she is. But even Liz the doula, she was 29. Jasmine mm-hmm. G's 29. I mean, we know that, Rachel's 31 and Rachel's Vanessa's 31. 29.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are all reasonable
age ranges.
They
might actually be the three oldest people, which...
They are. They are the three oldest people. And Rachel is the oldest.
Rachel!
At 31.
I think Danielle L is also 30. Or Danielle M is also
31. Danielle M is also 31. So, yeah.
Still, good break for them.
Great break for them. So...
Also, maybe a reason to consider casting some older women in the future.
I know. It makes for a better show.
Or does it? I mean... This show wouldn't be this show if it wasn't for the 23-year-olds. Like, that's what's entertaining right now.
That's true. But
the takeaway from the Rachel date is that it's really not great television to watch people who are just into each other.
Right.
Just, like, hanky-panky around. Like, that's not fantastic TV.
So can I talk about this date, please? And can I have you not be upset about
I'm not upset.
Talking about
I'm not
date?
Upset. I'm just saying, like, these two are obviously very
Adam,
much into each
us.
Other.
This is us on television. Aren't you excited that we are finally being fully represented as
this
a human couple on television?
This isn't us.
How is this not us?
You're
Nick. You run.
These are
I'm
two
a
people.
Lawyer.
These are two people who met on a reality dating show.
This is the same. It's the same.
That's not how we met at all.
Anyway, so Rachel is amazing. Can I also just mention, guys, we're in the South. We're having a moment with an interracial couple walking around New Orleans. They're kissing and canoodling. I got a couple stares. I felt like, you know what? You live your best life with your white man, you beautiful brown woman. I
you
was
got
excited.
Stares?
No, like on the show, like people were staring at them. I was like, oh.
Oh. You know? I thought you were like... People were staring at you, which would be very weird because there's just the two of us in the studio right now.
We have a lot of people in the studio. Don't ruin the mystery for people.
Well, like, just the two of us in the recording booth.
So, they do a lot of things on this date. They dance around New Orleans a whole bunch, which is great. I think Nick can dance.
What Taylor's trying to say is they do one thing on this date, just in a couple of different locations. What they do is like a standing canoodle.
Yes.
They do it in the street.
And they're shopping.
They do it at
the
shops.
Don't forget
they
that they're shopping.
They do it at dinner.
They are.
They do it at the concert.
But they're very like emotionally and physically connected to one another.
Yeah,
and
I mean they can't.
She's super calm on TV. Like, I mean, her interactions.
Her boobs are out, is
well,
what you're saying?
Everyone's boobs are out.
Yeah.
But she's really calm on TV. She's articulate. In terms of articulating her feelings, not like she can speak.
Well,
but,
I mean, she's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer,
yeah.
So yeah. And she's really cool with him, and he's into her.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, they're both just really into each other, and it's like...
It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it's not dramatic television.
So obviously Rachel got the rose, and she let Nick know that her father is basically Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
That seems pretty fun.
Uncle Phil, sometimes harsh, but ultimately, a big softy, nice guy.
Rose from the dead, and he's also Shredder.
Wow.
You guys knew that.
I think you're confusing roles.
No, he was the voice of Shredder in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that was actually Uncle Phil, I think it was the actor.
Yeah, Uncle Phil.
Yeah, my bad. I confused the two of them.
So Rachel's a total package. We love her.
Rachel is very clearly one of the he has three women.
Yeah,
she is very clearly one of them.
Yeah, she's top
Vanessa.
Two
Vanessa
for
and
sure.
Danielle M are the other ones, and like that's it. It's a mystery who's going to be fourth place. The meat of this season is going to be like whatever 10 women or however many we have left competing for fourth place, and then just losing to the juggernaut that is the oldest women.
I am just so excited that he's going to have sex with her. So this is...
Oh, yeah,
this
he's
is,
definitely... He cannot keep his hands off
he
her.
Is... Oof.
And she's encouraging it. She's like, look at this bodysuit that I wore with no bra.
Yay!
And I'm like, oh.
Yay for bodysuits.
So So we move on to the group date.
So the group date is basically everybody who is left. Everybody else except for Corinne and Taylor. So they go to... So funny when
Have you seen Scary Movie?
It's so funny.
It's that.
It's so funny that they drive up to this quote-unquote house, and they're like, this is a haunted house. I'm like, guys, this is a plantation. Let's all be very clear. You've got this massive tree in the front yard, and I love how everybody's like, well, how did this little girl die? Well...
But that's not real. That's fake.
I know it's fake. I just thought it was really funny to
me. They got this housekeeper, caretaker there. His name is Boo. Well, come on. Is any of this believable?
No, this is all fake.
This is all some dumb, like, B-movie out of the... And they, like... I had this theory that I want to talk about.
Ooh.
So they show up and they're like, there are ghosts here.
Yeah.
Don't touch the sheep.
A lot of people Don't probably move died the doll. On this plantation. Yeah. Yes.
Don't do any of this.
Loads of ghosts.
Yeah. And everyone is like, I'm so scared. Which I would assume is an act.
Except Jasmine. Jasmine was flat out like, I'm not here for this.
This is the theory.
What is the theory?
I think that's an act. I think that is an act by the producers who needed to cast somebody as the outsider who were like, you know, like, obviously the whole thing is scripted.
Sure.
In every scripted haunted house movie, there's always one person who's like, I don't believe in this dumb thing. You think if you look in the mirror and say your name three
and
times
that person is always the person that dies first.
It's always the person who dies first. So, so Jasmine's all big and bad and huffing and puffing her way around the house. And she's like,
I'm not afraid of anything.
I'm not afraid of ghosts or little girls or chandeliers or whatever the hell. And she like touches the doll and she moves the sheet.
She puts the hat on.
And then all of a sudden, guess who's 180 all of a sudden afraid of the ghosts?
It's Jasmine.
It's Jasmine. Come on. I think... The Jasmine subplot of this, the B plot of this date,
I think was it's a fake. Distraction.
I think it's fake.
Here's what I want to say. This was so boring. This date, I was like, I could not.
It was so on script. It was so terrible.
It was not great. I mean, the only good parts of it were obviously the one-on-one time that he got with our favorite bad. Danielle M., who we hadn't seen in quite some time. Danielle L., which we also hadn't seen in quite some time.
Yeah,
Jamie, who I think probably had a good point. I mean, she's from New Orleans. She's like, I respect the dead. This whole thing being a fun and games is not cool with me. I like Jamie. She's a little butch, but I'm into it.
Yeah, I think the best part was when Boo, like, was rescuing somebody from the window, and he was like, take my strong hand.
That's a different movie.
Oh.
You mean you remember that time where that guy that was also the caretaker at the hotel was running around and also trying to kill Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
No.
No, wait.
Wait.
Is that a different episode of TV?
Was it the time where the two guys were sitting in the ice and you couldn't figure out which one was the thing or not?
No. I think it was the one where there were two dead guys in the room. Two alive guys.
Right.
And one dead guy, but turns out he was alive too.
Right, right. Or is it the one where the guy turns into a fly?
No, that's Jeff Goldblum.
That's a man in a suit. Yeah, that's different. That's not that movie. That's not it. That's
yeah. This is just a bad date. Like, there's just no way around it. It was a bad date. Nothing interesting happened except for all these women going, ah! And like...
Big deal.
They're not even really doing that. There's some producer, like, poking them with an invisible stick, like,
I'm going to say
Screech.
It again. I'm going to say it again. I hated this date. Danielle M. got the rose because she deserves it. She's a queen. She's a goddess.
She's,
who cares?
Yeah, it must have been tough for Nick because he had Vanessa and also Danielle. Like
Danielle L. and Danielle M. on this
date. He had
and
two,
Raven.
He doesn't like Raven.
I think he likes Raven, but like I said, I think Raven's about to walk out of this beach.
I don't know. I don't think she thinks that deeply.
Not yet.
So we move on to the premier event.
The heavyweight fight.
The
two-on-one date. The Tyson versus Holyfield.
Yeah. So it's...
Someone's ear is going to get chomped off at the end of this thing.
Yeah. I was texting Taylor about titles for this episode before it showed up. And I wanted to come up with a rhyming New Orleans thing. And we're not going to end up titling the episode this, but I suggested Brawlin' in Nawlins, which I wanted to get out there. so that the audience could applaud my genius.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
With wordplay.
No.
There are people clapping right now.
I highly do.
There are people sitting at their desks or riding their buses or wherever the hell they listen to this show, just clapping.
This is your literary elitism rearing its ugly head.
It works both ways. I take it in really rich, and I give it out just as elite.
Ugh.
Anyway, so we start the date off, and the funny thing is that a lot of times, two-on-ones, both people go in and they're like, I just hope I survive. In this one, they both went in and they're like, there's no possible way I could lose. Both of them.
Really?
Because I think so.
These are the musings of crazy 23 and 24-year-old women.
Yeah. Let's do the math a little bit.
I don't have time for that.
No. Taylor keeps being like, I have a master's degree. You're 23.
I do have a master's degree.
I know. Taylor on TV keeps being like, I have a master's degree.
You have a master's degree because you took a one-year extension program off of a four-year program. Like, let's keep it all the way funky.
She's 23. She graduated high school. She went to college for
probably 4 years and then went and got an extension. Like,
there's no way.
Just like you could get one extra year by taking extra classes and getting a master's degree.
Yeah, there's no way she's actually done anything.
Not to say that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that she made a really good choice about staying in school for an extra 6 months so she could get her certification.
I just think it's funny. They both think that he'd be crazy to pick the other one. And they both go in so confident.
I mean, when you say your favorite clothing store is Forever 21, I mean, that speaks volumes.
At the beginning of the whole thing, Taylor goes, it's like she still thinks this is high school. It's like she thinks we're still in high school. I'm like, dude.
Read the room.
Here's the thing. You were in high school 4 years ago.
Yeah, you were in high school.
You were
4 years
just barely
ago.
Out of high school.
This is the same. So they go on this two-on-one date. The theme is voodoo and tarot card reading, which for a normal person, I would be very excited to go on this date. This sounds like loads of fun.
It's not a great two-on-one.
I mean, it's not a great two-on-one date because, you know, usually in the two-on-one dates, the best part is that there's real, like, open friction between the two women.
Yes.
And, like, they are either talking about each other to each other's faces anytime they have a one-on-one or, like, with each other, the gloves are off, or they're, like, you know, throwing snide looks at each other, or they're, like, mumbling stuff under their breath, and, like, the bachelor is very uncomfortable in this situation. Or, you know, it's like Dez's season when Mike G and who was the other goon that was on with Mike G that they hated?
I don't remember. But I do know what you're talking about.
So, like, they were, like, fighting the whole date. Like, that's what makes the two-on-one date really exciting.
But this one wasn't.
No.
To each other's faces, very passive-aggressive.
Yes.
And they waited till Nick isolated them and then one-on-one.
Yes.
Like, claws out.
Yes, which so, is so just, so I don't want to watch that.
So they meet this, like, voodoo crew.
Yeah.
First,
well,
I really.
It's more of a group. It's probably not a crew. It's definitely not a gang.
She said voodoo.
It's more of a troop.
I guess, for some reason, I heard Buddha Field when she said voodoo, like, troop or whatever. I heard Buddha Field, and immediately I was like, no, I'm, like, first of all, now I'm paying attention. Michelle.
Great anyway, movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Holy hell.
Yeah.
We recommend it.
Yeah.
We love cults.
So, yeah, definitely. So they go on this thing, whatever. They immediately split up. One of them, Taylor first, goes off to be with a reader.
Right.
Okay, not Raven, an actual reader.
Ah.
Get it? She can't read.
She can read.
That's still up in the air. So they go off, they're like, Taylor's getting her cards read with the reader.
Yes.
And Corinne just launches into her with Nick.
Yes.
Who eats it up like a total idiot.
Like, he's never heard any of this stuff before. Like,
what was he expecting?
I thought he was smarter than that. He was really acting like a real dumb idiot.
So they sit down and Corinne's like, listen, Taylor verbally abuses me and she emotionally abuses me. And she made up this emotional intelligence thing. And like Corinne is not an adult. She is complaining again like a child would complain.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Taylor's not
different. I'm being bullied.
Basically, but she gets to him first.
Right.
Which is a decision that I think he made. Or that the reader may. No, the reader would just pick Taylor to stay with her.
Right. Or did the tarot card
the producers
make that choice?
Yeah.
Honey, this is all a game, babe. You've been watching this.
How do I still fall for this?
You are an idiot. I thought you had a master's degree, too. I guess you're not using it.
I do have a master's.
Use it.
You're so dumb. So the producers pick Corinne to get time with Nick first. Yes. And it totally works.
Of course it works, because that's what they wanted to happen.
Then they switch sides. Corinne goes for her reading, which, you know, which happens, I guess. And Taylor sits down and she's like, listen, Corinne's bad. And then Nick interjects and basically gives Corinne's story on her behalf.
And he's Taylor
like, well, I heard.
Pissed. She's like, no, that is not what's happening. You're basically feeding all of these lies and garbage things back to Nick. And, you know, he's dumb enough to believe it. We've seen it time and time again.
Taylor just hammering the emotional intelligence thing.
Yep.
Which, at this point, nobody cares about.
It's a buzzword, like alternative facts.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
So they do that. And then what happens here? Like, here's what happens. Corinne is officially just destroying Taylor from the inside out.
Oh, for
you can
sure.
see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, because Taylor is really letting Corinne get to her, and it is eroding her confidence.
When you see them both talk to Nick, they're talking about the other person.
Yeah.
But then when you switch back and you see them on their own, Corinne is like, listen, I'm great. I'm into Nick. Nick and I are going to do this thing. And when you see Taylor on her little solos with the camera, Corinne is inside of her head,
is talking about Corinne. She's not even talking about Nick anymore.
The only thing she thinks about is Corinne. Corinne is in her head. She's living rent-free. Yep. She's moved in. She's receiving mail.
Yep.
She is no first and last.
Nope.
No deposit.
Nope.
She moved right in there and is just destroying her mind.
She is squatting the
They are both about Corinne.
Yep.
Which is the problem. That's how you lose to the villain of the season, is you let her or him
fester.
You let him take over your thing. Taylor, at some point, Taylor was like, listen, I'll be the one who jumps on the Corinne grenade. The problem is, it takes you out.
It does. So, we lost. Well, did we? So, Corinne gets the rose. At the end of this date, the producers leave Taylor in the swamp, you know, because they always love a dramatic leave behind.
They leave her there, turn off the cameras, throw her in a car, drive her to where Corinne and Nick are celebrating their togetherness, and then let her out. And they're like, go do something.
Right, and now we're at another to be continued.
So we did not include her in our end of the road because she is definitely coming back for something in the next episode.
It is also very unclear whether or not Nick will say goodbye to Corinne or if he will keep her around or what will happen. So we are now, I would say, at the bold predictions part of the episode.
Yeah.
So, guys, we've seen the sort of lead up to this episode, the Tears episode, for a long time. I have continued to say that the thing that's going to happen is, I think, still going to happen. Nick is going to be approached sexually by Corinne now that Taylor is going to be fully out of the way. He is either going to have sex with her, spend the night with her, something illicit's going to happen. She's going to go down on him. It's something gross, for sure.
I think it's just 100%.
Full intercourse?
Yes.
So, because Corinne probably feels like...
What about Corinne would make you think that she would stop halfway?
That is true. You're so smart. So, like I said, Corinne is probably going to do something sexual. Nick is going to tell her that she needs to go home. And then he's going to tell the rest of the women. And that's when the waterworks start flowing.
She's going to attempt to go full advance.
She is going to advance.
And he is going to accept.
He's going to accept, but he's also going to kick her off.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be my whole thing.
Sorry, honey.
So she advances.
You got to jump on the grenade, Fred.
She advances.
Yeah.
He accepts.
Yep.
Then he wakes up the next day and feels really bad about it.
Yep.
Sends her home in a non-rose ceremony, one-off
Correct.
Ejection.
So her bags will be packed.
She's out. Right. And now he has to tell everyone else about it.
Correct.
And that's when he cries.
Because that's the shot.
That was my entire prediction.
Honey, I have been saying this since day one. Where have you been? Let's talk to the stenographer. I'm not having this fight with you right now.
Sitting right here next to you.
I told you about this. We talked about this 24 times on the show. What?
What else is there to even predict about?
Who he's going to pick at the end of it?
No. Fourth place is the real prediction.
Okay, fine. So, but, I mean, that's what's going to happen. Because that's the shot that they keep showing. Somebody coming in and taking her suitcase out. Why are they taking her suitcase out? Because she was asked to leave.
Yeah, on a one-off. Like
on a one-off.
So Taylor's going to come back. Taylor has, like, she's surpassed Corinne right now, by the way. As, like, the crazy one. Well, as, like, the...
She's been infected.
Switcheroo.
Oh. Bitcheroo.
Right?
I can't believe that.
So she pulls the bitcheroo. She is now the worst person. She's going to come back. She's going to say something to Nick.
Corinne's going to be like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh,
no, Corinne's going to sit there and be just keep her mouth shut.
Yep.
And Nick's going to be like, listen, I'm sorry, you got to go.
Yeah. And she's going to go.
Then they're going to have a rose ceremony. We're going to lose some more riffraff.
Yep.
Maybe Josephine.
Now remember, maybe guys. Maybe Whitney. Remember in the preview. And I believe this is true. Please don't quote me on it. And if I'm saying the wrong thing, then I will accept that at a later date.
Says the person who wanted the stenographer 1 minute ago.
I know, but this is separate from that.
Okay.
So in the shot that they show of him closing the door of the SUV, he's not wearing the same shirt that he is wearing on the date with Corinne. So that shot is happening at a different time.
Wow, look at the great mouse detectives over here. Taylor Robinson.
Guys.
Look at her.
I know stuff. So, those are happening at two different times, but they're showing it to us in quick sequence for us to assume that, you know, Taylor came on the show, and then Nick sent her home, and then now we're at the beach, and this is different, and now we don't know why everybody's crying. Yes, we do.
Wow. It's like a Charlie Kaufman movie.
Those are two different shots.
Wow.
I just you up.
That's it. 25 Your Life original research.
You're welcome. And if I'm wrong, then I...
Strike it from the record.
I never said that.
This is technically still bold predictions.
This is a bold prediction. I can make it.
Let's go to power rankings.
My number four.
Wow, dramatic page turn. I know you guys probably heard that, but that was a dramatic page turn.
My number four is Danielle, but guess which one?
L.
Yes.
Good for you.
Okay.
I like Danielle L.
I do too.
I really think she is in the running for... She is winning the race for fourth place.
Right totally. Now. I think the challenge for Nick will be, does he want to see her boobs or not?
Wow. So, yeah. The problem with Danielle L. getting fourth place is that he's got to send her home.
Yeah.
He's got to pass up free sex with her.
Yeah.
To continue his three actual priorities.
I know.
That's tough.
Because that's a hard thing to think about. It's like, okay, you know, you want to get her far enough to meet her family, but then... But you know that you want to have sex with her for sure.
Wow.
But then you don't want to, like, take her home and then just think, like, I guess I have to ask her dad for a hand in marriage because this might be the last time I see him. But I really just want to have sex with her. I know I don't mean it. But then I don't want to waste that third spot for somebody that I actually like.
Yeah, it's tough. He's got to get it down to a top two ahead of time. Or
the top two is set, friend.
I don't think so.
Oh, girl.
I don't think so.
Who's the other person?
Vanessa.
No. Who's the other person?
Danielle M.
Adam, no. It's Rachel.
Rachel is the first one.
Wait, what? Hold on. Who's your number four?
No.
We will have this conversation.
Rachel and Vanessa and Danielle M. are the top three.
Yeah.
I'm saying he needs to figure out, of those three, who the top two are, so that he can slide Danielle L in.
But the top two are Vanessa and Rachel.
Really?
Yes.
I think he's feeling Danielle M over Vanessa.
No, dude.
We have too many Danielles.
Yep, that is for damn sure.
Anyway.
Who's your number
four? My number four is Jasmine.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I think at the beginning of the season, I was kind of a little bit disturbed by how pointy her chin was.
She definitely has a pointy chin.
Yeah, it's kind of growing on me. I'm into it.
I think what happened is we were doing some Instagram stalking earlier this week, and Jasmine, it looks like, so another 25 to Life exclusive, looks like she got veneers in the off season.
No problem with that.
I think that is what you are gravitating towards.
I, like Nick, have a set group of three that I prefer.
You do.
And this fourth spot is
a wild card.
Competitive, but ultimately meaningless.
Okay, great,
right?
Great.
And right now it's Jasmine.
Okay, who is your number three?
My number three is Vanessa.
Wow, Vanessa is down. Stock is down on Vanessa this week. Tell us why, Adam.
I like Two Girls more.
Okay, great. Okay.
Vanessa remains my top three person who intersects with his top three. She is the only one.
Yeah.
So in terms of like half Adam, half Nick, like combination power rankings, she's number one. But she's wonderful. She has fantastic hair.
Great hair.
Yeah.
My number three is Danielle M. I am high on her because she had a really good week. We missed her from the first one-on-one date. You know, again, she's one of those people that is just way too good for this show. And
I don't miss her. I think she's. Mm-mm. I think she, of the top three who we agree on, of the top three, she's the worst on TV.
Yes. So. Yes. Which is sad because I really like her. And you know yeah, who would be not, good for her?
It's not interesting to watch people who are in love on TV. It's just not interesting.
It's not. And he's got a really good group of people that are going to be in the top sort of rankings of everything. So I'm curious to see how their conversations will develop.
This show's going to get really bad with like three or four people left.
I don't know. I think what's going to happen is the farther we get into the show with the people that are actually really good, they're going to start to have really interesting and serious conversations, which is what I miss from the show.
Look, not why I'm watching this show.
Adam's like, I want to see tits. I don't want to hear people talk about their feelings.
Sorry. I mean, as my list goes on, this will be confirmed.
You know who would be really good for Danielle M?
No. Who?
Graham.
Who is a person that I should recognize. Well, from Bachelor in Paradise.
Graham, who was on
Ashley. Bachelorette,
correct. And he was trapped with Ashley on Bachelor
in Paradise. I totally remember that.
Graham. You did?
Yeah, I did.
And Graham is a former professional basketball player. So he's tall.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
We had this conversation a million times. You never listened to me.
So much math in my mind. It's really hard for me to keep this trivia. Who's your number two?
My number two is Vanessa. She didn't have a lot of FaceTime this week, but she doesn't need it. She's great. You know, it's my top two are pretty much fluctuating between the same two people. Vanessa's amazing. She's a goddess. She can do no wrong.
Yeah, he's got a top three.
And you know what? He listens to Vanessa. When she says, like...
Because she's an adult.
I know. When she says, you got to stop doing that crazy... He's like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. He mumbles, okay. That's him saying, okay.
My number two is Christina Still.
Whoa!
I think she is a gem. She was my number two last week also.
She's not just a gem, Adam.
She's a princess.
She's a princess.
I just think she's so adorable. She's great.
You know why she's great? It's because she's continuing to try to convince you that she is the lost Romanov.
I mean, she's just really cute. She's not really hot. She's just cute.
It's because she was an orphan.
She has no parents.
She has no parents. She only has a dog. She has a small dog that she found on the street.
Yeah, she looks just like the painting.
She does.
That's
she
a Disney joke. Like,
no, it is not a Disney film, and you know better than that.
I don't. Sorry, I assume
Anastasia is not a Disney.
I assume every animated
that.
Movie from my childhood is a Disney film.
It is not.
I assume it is.
No,
I'm not gonna.
Anastasia is in the same vein as Thumbelina and the Swan Princess, and you know that.
Which I would have also bet money on were Disney movies. Is it crazy that I think every animated movie made before I was an adult is a Disney film? Including when I was an adult.
You know,
I assume every animated movie of all time is a Disney movie.
It's really not, but that is very short-sighted of you.
I got so much math going on in my mind. I don't have room for this.
You sure don't.
Shenanigans.
For trivia. Who's your number one, Adam?
My number one is still Danielle L.
Oh, God. Those boobs, man.
I mean, it's not just that. Like, obviously, she has great boobs.
But let's
She's just wonderful. She seems like a great person.
She really is. And you know what? She had a very minimal makeup on in this episode, which was really nice to see her sort of fresh-faced and looking cute.
Yeah.
That was a nice change of pace.
On the occasion that I get to meet all of these women, I'm dating Danielle L.
Okay.
Like, first impression rose, also first one-on-one date, also second one-on-one date. That's it. Group date Rose goes to Christina.
And if I had the chance to date any of these women, I would date Jamie because I know she would like me back and I've seen her milk a cow.
Jamie really the only choice.
Jamie is truly the only choice for me.
Tell us about Rachel.
My number one is Rachel. God, is she amazing.
Really, really hard to deny that he is feeling her.
He is feeling the out of her. And let me tell you,
literal what, and figurative.
Hello. If there was ever a time for Black Girl Magic to really flourish on this show, it is right now. I mean, the women from Hidden Figures just won the Best Ensemble Award at the SAG Awards. I mean, Moonlight is killing it. And now Rachel is really in the running to be the next Bachelorette. What a time to be alive.
Skip her winning the show.
No, she doesn't need to win. I don't need her to win. I just need her to be the Bachelorette. And it's working.
Well, she's got a 1 out of 3 chance, as far as I see it. I don't know.
She's got a 50-50 chance of being the Bachelorette. I don't even think there's 1 out of 3.
I think
who else could it be? It's not Danielle. She can't talk. Neither of them.
Juan Pablo was the Bachelor.
I know, but they needed
Look at the current Bachelor.
I know, but
the current Bachelor is Nick. Honey, he can't say anything.
Honey, that is different. ABC is on a totally different wavelength in terms of programming. They need to elevate the room, and this is how they do it, friend.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think Danielle L. could get it.
She can't talk.
She can get it, that's for sure.
Here's what I'm going to say, because remember what you had said about Kayla? You were like, Kayla's the Bachelorette. And then she got on the Women Tell All, and she didn't say a word. She didn't say anything when she was in that chair with Chris Harrison, and the producers were like, she can't handle the spotlight.
She was the Bachelorette. They picked her and started filming it, and then stopped and started with JoJo. That's a true story.
You're right. However, I would not have been happy about that season, and it is separate from my feelings for Kayla.
You introduced
it is not.
Her.
I hate Kayla.
I love Kayla.
I know you do.
This is where the friction is.
This is where the friction is. We'll continue to fight about this until next week. I'm very excited about what's going to happen. Hopefully we'll see some intercourse on screen. I've been waiting for that for a couple weeks. So there's something.
Well, I'm so horned up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Corinne's going to keep being the show as long as she's around, which as of right now
is only until next week.
Looks like she's guaranteed to go through. She's already got the rose.
Yeah, big deal.
All right.
See you later.
I think my time on the Bachelor franchise is probably complete.
You get to be the Bachelor, you get to meet 25 at least amazing women, but
it's not a normal environment. It's a very unrealistic situation. It's real to you. A lot of people ask me, how's Chris Harrison? Really popular. Dabbled in modeling a little bit. People really like TVs.